This is one of the first of the octaves in the church. And of course, it marks the eighth day since the birth of Jesus, and therefore the day that he would be circumcised, the octave of his birth. That's because he too was subject to the law, and that was the law. And we'll come to that and why all that happened. But the church begins tonight with this blessing, the blessing that the sons of Aaron put upon God's people. This is how you shall bless them. The Lord, Adonai, bless you and keep you, Lishmor, protect you, keep you. The Lord, let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. You know, in the scriptures, this idea of the face of God, many times people go on pilgrimage to see the face of God. It means to have an audience with God, to be there in his presence and listen to him and speak to him, to have a very intimate experience of God. And the place of that was the temple and the meeting tent before it. And people would go on a pilgrimage, and they would go there to see the face of God. But my friends, that was only a promise. The face of God is Jesus Christ. There he is. You want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus. You want to know what God thinks like? Listen to Jesus. You want to know if Jesus, if God is merciful? Look at Jesus. So that's, you see, the Lord, may his, let his face shine upon you. That has been fulfilled, and the blessing of all those great and holy priests who blessed the people that way for 1,000 years. Well, maybe 700 anyway. And now it's fulfilled. The Lord let his face shine on you. Look at him. See the love in his eyes. Listen to his voice. Get to know him. And so that God's face will shine on you. The Lord look kindly upon you and give you peace. Shalom. Peace. That's the blessing. Fulfilled every time we come together to praise God. Fulfilled at every Eucharist. So as we go on with this Eucharist, remember to look and gaze. We're having a more than an audience. Huh? Jesus Christ dwells in us. And just as he is fixed forever in the act of love in which he died, in an eternal response to the Father, a return to the Father, not just in his divinity, but in his humanity. So he brings us into heaven at this liturgy, where we can see the face of God. I remember when I lived in Rome, and I used to celebrate in the Greek Rite, and on every Sunday, and the church was, you know, nice-sized church, and in the back was an old man, tall, gray beard, and his eyes were closed throughout the whole liturgy, which went on, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours, like a good liturgy ought to do. And he would stand there with his eyes closed, bless himself at the right time, sing all the responses. And yet, most of him was in heaven. Sometimes, out of nowhere, he was just prostrate on the ground. And then get up again. You see, he had an audience with God. Jesus Christ in him was carrying him in the force of that act of love which dwells in him by the Holy Spirit right into the presence of the Father with all the angels and saints. We sing, holy, 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 with all the angels. So that blessing, you see, that blessing is to have an audience with God. Talk to God. Not be afraid. Talk to God as a father in the power and the love of Jesus Christ, who comes to us to dwell in us, fixed in the act of love in which he died. Now glorious, glorious. Even his wounds are glorious. So the next text brings all that down to earth. When the fullness of time had come, God's appointed time, 1,000 years of working with his people to get the human race ready so that some would understand when the very Son of God walked among them and said, "The Father and I are one." It took 1,000 years to get people ready so that from them the word of the Lord could go out and people could explain what happened. Not that they were ready for what happened, but they had the wherewithal to understand it when it happened. The fullness of time had come. God sent his Son. So where was the Son before he sent him? With the Father from all eternity. God sent his Son. Now the theologians say, well, what do you mean God sent his Son? God's everywhere. I mean, how can... And of course, these great holy people, they say, no, you don't understand. It's not that God moves. It's that he's perceived in a new way. To be sent means to have an origin within the Trinity. Therefore, only the Son and the Spirit can be sent. To have an origin in the Trinity and to be present in a new way. Well, he's only present in a new way when he's perceived in a new way. That's the gift. In fact, that's the gift of wisdom. When someone begins to mature in their life and they move toward the Father, St. Augustine first said, and St. Thomas built on it, a word proceeds inside their spirit. See, Jesus is living there, moving there, bringing this person to the Father. And so it says, you see, this is the gift of wisdom. And so it says, a word proceeds within the spirit of the believer. And Aquinas says, not just any word, but a word breathing forth love. That is the very word of God. That's what it means. And it says here, as proof that you are sons, God sent, again, God sent his Son, now God sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Not just any word, but a word breathing forth love. This is what God has in store for us. He's begging us, give me your heart. Turn from your sin. Be generous with one another. Take the world into your heart and pray so that this word can proceed in you and you say, Abba. You know what that means. It's a divine affection for God the Father. So you're no longer a slave, dominated by your fears, your emotions, your sins, your memories, your whatever. You're a child, and you have all the rights of a child. That means my Father owns the universe, and I'm his heir. That means when God finishes with me, and I die, and I rise, and I'm in heaven, the whole universe is mine. It's not that my Father has to die to give it to me, it's that I have to die to enter into it. But, you know, my Father owns the universe because I'm in Jesus. Now you see, it says here, he was born of a woman, born under the law. Can you imagine the humility? The very word of God, in whom and for whom and by whom the law was written, comes under it. He was circumcised and got his name tonight. That's the mystery. Can you imagine that? Tiny little boy child getting circumcised and receiving his name. His father, Joseph, names him Yehoshua, which means Yahweh saves. That's his name. That's his quintessential reality. He saves. Saves from what? Oh, open your eyes. Open your eyes. Where is there a lot of people tonight? They're getting as drunk as they can to try to forget their misery, and tomorrow they just wake up sick. What kind of a holiday is that? And you know, if it weren't for the mercy of God, we'd be all out there with them, without a doubt. Probably doing worse. Saved just doesn't mean we go to heaven. It means we start living heaven now. We try to love each other. I mean, how many environments? Everybody's trying to love each other. I'm not saying we're doing a great job, but at least we're trying. Where else except in the body of Christ? Saved. As it says in Galatians, you know, he sent his son, you know, to save us from this present evil age. Protect us. Prepare us. Let our sufferings be those that sanctify us in union with Christ so that we can go straight to heaven. Save us. You see, born under the law to ransom those under the law. And then to receive the adoption as sons. That could never have happened unless he were born of a woman. He had to enter this world. He had to take a hold of it, embrace it, take up its sins, spread out his arms, and die so that we could be children of God. And all of that happened because he's born of Mary. That's what we celebrate. That's why, who could name God Savior except that he's incarnate? And then we have the gospel. And there's two parts to the gospel. We've done a lot of the second part already. The shepherds, you know, construction workers. You know, they were told, you guys, you go over there, you're going to find the Messiah. And they said, okay, let's go. They didn't say, well, what kind of a nut is this, you know? He might be flying around the sky and looking like an angel, but I mean, who would come to us to announce this? You go to kings and philosophers, you don't come to us. And they were simple enough to say, well, gosh, if that angel's telling us this, we're going to go. And they went, and they saw the infant lying in the manger. Now, just a second. He's supposed to be the Savior, the Christ, of the Savior of the world, right? Today is born for you one who is the Savior, Christ the Lord. Savior, Christ the Lord. And he's this big. They say, well, if the angel said it, that's enough. And then they saw his mother. And they looked at this child. And they said, there is something special going on here. So they went and told everybody. You know, we were out there, you know, it's a shepherd's field in Bethlehem. It's still there. And the Migdal Eder was right there. And this angel came and told, and we went there, sure enough, there's this child. And if you look at this child, you know there's something special. They told everybody. And Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. That means carrying them, mulling them, and waiting for their full significance to be revealed. So when she stood at the cross, she understood all this. Now I get it. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. So if our hearts are alive tonight, and if we're praying for one another, we will leave here glorifying and praising God, because the Lord is among us. The Lord is going to come and in this bread and wine be physically present to us, God Almighty, and then feed us on his body and blood. Then the next line we've just already talked about. When 8 days were completed, Hebrew boy has to be circumcised on the eighth day, and that takes precedence over the Shabbat. He was named Jesus. The name given him by the angel before he was conceived. God the Father had that name in mind from all eternity. That's what we celebrate tonight. That's the mystery. So when you say the rosary, think of all that. You know, there's some of the mysteries of the rosary, right? And so let it enter into us. All of this came through this child born of Mary. And that's why this is the oldest feast of Mary. But it's also the oldest feast which declares the Jewishness of Jesus. He was born under the law. And nobody kept the covenant the way he did. Nobody. With the love, the enthusiasm, the fidelity, the freedom that the Son of God kept the law. All right, let's stand and make an act of faith.